I don't normally preach through a book, but Sunday before last, we preached out of Colossians chapter 1. Last Sunday, Colossians chapter 2. And I had a message I thought I was going to preach this week, and the Lord just kind of took that away from me at the last minute. And here we are in Colossians chapter 3. I believe this is what He would have us to meditate on today and to hear from His Word. But let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love You and thank You again for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we have some folks that are going through things here, and health issues and spiritual issues, financial issues. We just want to lift them up to You, Lord. And Lord, a special blessing on Brother Mac, that You'd help him and just be peace and comfort for him, and help Sister Victoria and Brother Jerry as they walk this valley with him. And Lord, we thank God that You are the lily of the valley. And we know in the darkest and most troubling times, You're still with us. I ask You to be with them in a mighty way, in a very real way. And Lord, bless Brother Jim and Sister Shirley and strengthen them. They couldn't be here today, Lord, that You'd help them and help all the folks that are healing up from surgeries and different things, Lord. And Lord, we want to lift up the folks we're praying for for salvation, Lord. Dr. Dobdun, Janet Liebrook, and the rest, Lord, that You would just deal with their hearts, that they'd see the need to get saved before it's too late. Send planters and waters, Lord. We'll trust You for the increase. And Lord, have Your will and way in the service. And Lord, in our hearts, change us for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter number 3, we'll read down through here a little ways. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, into which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So the first thing I want to see as we look at verse number 1 again, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. We're going to talk about what is your state. What's your state? Now, there's a difference between state and standing. What is your standing is what we're going to look at. Your state is what condition you're in. Your standing is whether you're standing in Christ or you're in sin. So everybody in the world today is in one standing or the other. Is there standing in sin, or is it in Christ? And that's where people get confused. A lot of times they'll say, well, how could you be saved and you know it, and how could you be going to heaven and you know it? Because God changed my standing. I'm no longer standing in dead in my trespasses and sins, but I am standing spiritually live in Christ. God had performed a spiritual operation and taken me out of my sin and placed me in Christ. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, your standing is in Christ. You are standing in Christ. You are standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. He is that firm foundation. Everything else is sinking sand, right? Everything else, anybody that's trusting anything else is going to sink off into hell one day. It's all Jesus Christ. That's your standing. What is your standing today? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your standing is you are lost, dead in your trespasses and sins, and on your way to a devil's hell that God does not want you to go to. But if you're saved, you're standing in Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Lost or saved, what's your standing? Verse number 1 also says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What are you seeking? If you're standing in Christ, if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you realize what He had done for you, and you believe the death, burial, and resurrection, and you called on Jesus Christ for salvation, and you're in Christ, you're standing in Christ, what are you seeking? Are you seeking things of the flesh or for the flesh, or are you seeking things eternal? We talk about it often in here, and I think it ought to be talked about often. We talk about the judgment seat of Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and your works will be judged. And whatever is not of God, whatever didn't glorify Him, whatever wasn't given Him the preeminence, whatever wasn't done for His honor and for His glory will be burned up for eternity. It'll be gone. But you will be saved, yet so as by fire. It's not about you being judged by your works. It's about your motives being judged and your works being judged to see what makes it through the fire. Say, well, what importance does that have to me? I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I'm saved too. But at the end of that fire, there's going to be rewards or lack thereof to lay back at the feet of Jesus Christ. And whether or not you believe it now or know it now from the head and from the heart, He is worthy. And when you're standing there before Him, you're going to realize when you look at the nail-scarred feet, nail-scarred hands, and the spear puncture in the side, and you see the marks on His brow where He took the crown of thorns, and you realize exactly for the first time how much He paid for you, the price that it cost to get you to heaven, you're going to realize that you're going to wish you'd have done more for Jesus Christ. I can't emphasize it enough. No matter what you do, you're going to wish you'd have done more, but don't go empty-handed. Don't go empty-handed. What's your state, lost or saved? What are you seeking? Things of this world. And that's a lot of what's going on with our world and politics and everything. They're worried about the things of this world. They're worried about their bank account. They're worried about their price of their insurance or their water bill, all this stuff. And hey, honestly, it doesn't do me any good to worry about it. I can't change it. I'm just one vote. My vote is, even so come Lord Jesus. I can't change it. I can just trust God to take care of it, no matter how messy it gets down here. Amen. It doesn't matter which guy gets in the White House or the outhouse, whatever you want to call it at this point. Doesn't matter which guy gets in there. Whether the gas prices end up $6 a gallon or $1.60 a gallon, the Lord's still going to have to take care of it. Amen? And if the Lord wants you to get in your car and come to church, He'll pay the $6 a gallon for you somehow. Amen? And if the Lord wants you to stay home, I don't think He wants you to stay home on church day. Amen? I think that's the other God with the little g. But I mean, if the Lord wants you to do something, He'll provide a way to get it done. I'm not going to sit around, November 5th, 4th, whatever it is, whenever they have the big, massive influx of new counting or whatever happens that night, right? Whatever happens 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever happens on which side of the aisle, whatever, I'm not going to stay up going, good night. What's the Lord going to do if Trump gets in? What's the Lord going to do if Biden gets in? What's the Lord going to do if? The Lord's already past that. He's not worried about it for one second. I read the book of Revelation. You know what? He's not worried about Biden or Trump. Honestly, He's not even worried about the state of America. He's worried about your heart. He's worried about people that are in Christ and what they're seeking. His desire is to see you seek Him. So what are you seeking? Verse number 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What are you set on? What are you set on? Here we go back. We go back to idols, really. What are you set on? What's your focus on? What do you spend in your life? What do you spend more time on than you do the Lord? Pretty quiet in here. Got your pen and paper out? What are you spending more time on than you do Jesus Christ? What do you put more importance in than reading your Bible? What do you put more importance in than praying? What do you put more importance in to telling people, hey, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and Jesus Christ died for your sin? What are you giving more credit to? What are you putting more of your focus on than loving Jesus Christ? Now, if you got a pen and paper out and wrote down everything you did all day, I think you might get a real quick answer. Or several real quick answers. Amen? But what are you set on? And is there something that's hindering you from seeking eternal things? I think that the state of churches today and the state of quote-unquote Christianity is a mess. I think that a lot of people are running around there and they've got a lot of money, they got a lot of things, they got a lot of things to do, they're busy, they're important, they're so important that they have very little time for God. I'm talking about people that are probably saved, but they have very little time for God. And I think that if they mention Jesus once a week, they think that they've pleased God. And I think that a lot of preachers will tell you that if you have a lot of worldly things, then God is happy with you and He's blessing you with those worldly things. And I think that that's a lie. I think that God will bless you with some things for taking care of the flesh. And I think God will bless you more spiritually than will physically. But I think a lot of times people just get so caught up in the things of this world that they just want to sprinkle Jesus in once in a while and pretend like they're right with God. I don't want that to be us. I don't want that to be us. We are blessed, even in the state of the nation we're in now, even in the state, the condition that this place is in now, we are blessed beyond measure in the United States of America. You've got a roof over your head. Most of you didn't walk here. You may walk home. I don't know what kind of car you drove in. But most of you didn't walk here. Most of you have food in your refrigerator. And you have a refrigerator, amen? Most of you didn't have to go, I got to get my one pair of clothes to put on today. Or where am I going to find clothes for today? See, we get real nervous when things look like they're going to go the wrong way financially. And I understand. I mean, I'm realistic. I'm not a great historian, but I can look back in history and see where empires fell and why they fell and how quickly they fell. I understand all that. But if gas prices hit $4.10 a gallon, that does not mean we're in the tribulation. That means we're one step closer to Jesus, maybe, but it doesn't mean we're suffering and being persecuted for the cause of Christ. We still got it better than we deserve. Amen. I mean, to be born into a free nation, and I know I can see the freedoms dwindling away, and I can see their ideas that the absolute power corrupts absolutely and all that stuff, and I understand all that. But be able to be born in a free country where you can walk out this door right now and preach the Word of God on the sidewalk if you so desire, where you can carry a Bible to church, you can carry your Bible to Walmart if you want to. Probably ought to take that and some holy water to flick on. No. Walmart's a crazy place. I'm joking about the holy water. But you could carry your Bible down the street. You could carry it to Walmart. You could take it to the public school if you were in school right now. You could take it and set it on your desk, and somebody might make fun of you. But you could take it, you could read it, and you could pray personally yourself. And you're not going to get any trouble for it. I mean, sure, somebody might get upset, and somebody might say something, but we still have the right as Americans to do that. The most important right that we have and the most important reason that I believe God allowed this nation to be founded was have the right to worship Jesus Christ freely. And I think that's leaving. I think that's going away because people don't do it. What are you set on? Look at verse 3. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What's your status? I mean, here's what you have to ask the world. What's your status? Well, someone says, I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm the CEO, the executive of this, the executive of that. I'm the PhD. I am Professor Emeritus at Harvard or whatever. You know, they come up with all, this is their status. No. Your status is you are dead. Now look, if you're lost and in your sin, you are dead in your trespass and sin on your way to hell. And if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the old man is dead and you are alive in Christ. The old you is dead. You're judged dead at Calvary. Why would you let a dead person keep telling you what to do? This flesh should not rule you. Amen. Your eyes, what they see, and your ears, what they hear. Your eyes, what they see, and your ears, what they hear, YouTube. Facebook, should not rule you. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. This should rule you. This should rule you. The words of God. What's your status? Lost or saved? You're either dead in your trespasses and sin, or the old man's dead, and Jesus Christ has taken the new man one step at a time, hopefully toward being more like Him. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. What's your security? What's your security? Well, a lot of folks, their security is their 401k, their retirement plan of some sort, their investment strategy, their CDs, their bonds, their savings account. But our security is God's Word. Look what it says again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. If you're saved, that right there is your security. No matter what happens on this earth, no matter what happens to this physical flesh, no matter what we go through here, we will appear with Him as saved folks in glory. I feel sorry for the folks that don't have Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, because this is all they have. And this is nothing but a big old stressful nightmare for most people. And it's all about getting more and getting more and getting more, and the flesh is never satisfied, and they just want more, more power, more money, more prestige, more this, more that, more the other. And after the end, at the end of that race, after chasing that proverbial carrot that they never can quite catch, they'll die and go to hell for eternity without Jesus Christ. You and I, oh man, we get our teeth kicked in around here. We go through things. We suffer. We struggle. I mean, honestly, we struggle with our flesh more than most people do. Lost people don't struggle with their flesh. They just pretty much go with it. But after the end of the battle, at the end of the line for us, we will be with Jesus Christ. That's our security. That's what can keep you getting out of bed in the morning. Amen? That's it. Whether Kamala, or Trump, or whoever, word salad, it's still going to take, no matter who wins an election, you're still going to need Jesus Christ to get out of bed in the morning. You're still going to need Jesus Christ to take each step each day if you're going to glorify Him. You're still going to need the Word of God. The significance of the passing of time. You probably heard that over and over and over again, that clip they played. Well, there is a significance to the passing of time, because time is passing, and you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Now, if she would have said that, I'd have voted for her. Amen? If she'd have said, you're passing time, you're wasting time not living for Jesus Christ, you need to get right with God, you need to get saved, you need to get a Bible, you need to open it up, you need to pray, I'd vote for it, amen. But there is a significance to the passing of time. And the passing of time is something you don't get back on this earth. Never thought I'd quote her from the pulpit. I apologize. But the thing is, our security does not come from a free and fair election or lack thereof. Our security comes from the Word of God. He has given us an eternal promise of eternal security with Jesus Christ. We have a Bible, and if you open the Bible and you read the Bible, you realize these things have I written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you may believe in the name of the Son of God in 1 John 5:13. That is a promise you can hang your hat on. That's a promise. When you get over there and it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's a promise. You know, You know what he says? Even so, I come quickly. You say, well, it doesn't seem very quick. No, when he comes back, it's going to be real quick. He didn't lie. That's a promise. Because when he decides to come back, he'll be back like that. People say, where's the promise of his coming? Right here in the Bible. He's coming back, and he's coming back quickly. He didn't say he's coming back tomorrow or the day after or next month. He said quickly. You know why he said quickly? Because when he comes back, you're going to be caught doing whatever you were doing. When he calls you out of here, what are you going to be doing? As a saved person, what will you be doing? Will you be at Charles Schwab's office talking about your 401k and you haven't read your Bible in 6 weeks? I'll say it again. Maybe we'll be in here singing Amazing Grace and he'll just call us out of here. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? We'll be singing praise God, and he'll just right through the roof. Amen. Some of y'all are scared of heights. You'll get over that real quick. What's your security? It's God's word. Ye shall appear with him. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Here it's talking about these things. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Will you surrender? First thing that comes to mind here, you know, we get the picture of a former president with his hand in the air and the American flag behind him. We will not surrender. Fight, fight, fight. And isn't it funny how people will fight to the death for a checkbook? They'll fight to the death to maintain some right that pleases the flesh. They will not surrender. But born-again believers, what gets me is born-again, Bible-believing people will fight to the death and never surrender to Jesus Christ. I mean, sure you're saved, sure you're going to heaven, but you never give up and say, Lord, I'm just going to serve you. Nothing else really matters. I'm just going to serve you. Solomon wrote an entire book, Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters, about how this place means absolutely nothing without God. Solomon wasted everything God had blessed him with and corrupted all that stuff and had all these different women and all these different gods. And it's just a mess. And he wrote a 12-chapter book in Ecclesiastes about how everything is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's all worthless. It's nothing. It's void without serving God and glorifying God and following God's word and putting Him first. You would think that a Bible-believing, born-again Christian would read that and go, I got it now. It's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. But you know, you have to keep reminding yourself every day. And I'm just as guilty as you are sometimes. Maybe I want to listen to an old preacher. Sometimes I'll listen to Adrian Rogers just for balance, because he's calm, he's a good guy, good Bible doctrine. He's just solid. Or old Charles Stanley or something like that. Or some old, real old preaching, you know, from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, or, you know, just some stuff to try to find some balance, because we need balance, amen? And then the next thing you know, there's political junk popping up, and then this is going on, and that's going on, and the head of the FBI is doing this, that the CIA is doing it. They're just doing what lost people do. And the next thing you know, I've consumed my day. Not that I sat on that and looked at it all day, but all day it's in my head. I can't believe that's going on. Can't believe that's going on. Can't believe it. You ever do that? Let me ask you this. Have you ever taken a day and just got up and said, I'm not looking at my phone today? I'm just going to shut that thing off. How could that be? I still, you know, these young folks still can't believe we ever left the house in a car without a phone. Amen. How did you make it all the way to Kmart? What is that Kmart thing again? But you made it all the way to Kmart without a phone? Siri, take me to Kmart. I mean, yeah, we did everything without a phone. I mean, talking on a phone was like a luxury. You'd go home and you didn't have to climb a telephone pole when I was a kid, but it's close to it. I mean, you had the cord on the wall, you know. My sisters would, you know, you'd be, well, first it was this. And then it was in that cord, and you'd straighten that thing out, and you'd get it all the way out to like the original 10 feet, and then the new 75 feet. And then it would, you know. It was work to talk on the phone, amen. Now the phone follows you, amen. So I'm just not depressed enough. Well, look at your phone. I think I'm having a good day. Look at your phone. I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to just endeavor to be happy. Well, look at YouTube for 5 minutes. That'll fix that. Go on Facebook and have somebody tell you, oh, they got angels praying for you, and then they want to tell you what Trump did and what Biden did and what this happened and that happened. Gas prices are going up. Iran's doing this. North Korea's doing that. South Korea's doing this. Japan's doing this. China's doing that. Russia's doing this. You say, what's Jesus doing? He's sitting around going, where are the people following me? Hey, Zuckerberg people, I'm over here. I really don't use Facebook. I'm not on YouTube. I'm in the Bible. Amen. Will you surrender? I've said this before, I'll say it again. I know the devil hates this, but this is the way it is. If you took 7 days and just quit, unplugged from all the garbage, read your Bible 3 or 4 times a day and prayed in between that, I'm not asking you to change your whole life and become a monk. I'm just saying, if you just took 7 days from a Sunday to a Sunday, first of all, you'd be happy to be in church the next Sunday, amen? But second of all, realize how much garbage we put in our heads and we can't change it. And God's honestly not that interested in changing it. He's more interested in changing you. Amen? And I'm not anti-American. I love the fact that we were born a free nation, and I think that the Pledge of Allegiance still ought to say under God and all that. But there's a more important flag than that one. That one. It's about Jesus Christ. You can take flags or leave them. I don't care if you want to say they're a symbol or whatever, but I'm just saying, if it wasn't for Him, that wouldn't be. And now they, the majority of Americans, have rejected Him. And here we are. Here we are. Will you surrender? Wouldn't that be something? Try it. Okay, just baby steps. Try it for a half a day, right? Try it for a half a day. Get up one morning, pray, read your Bible. Make sure it's a day where you don't have all this stuff planned. It's a day where you're like, what am I going to do? Okay, I'll tell you. I'll go ahead and give you a plan. Get up and pray and read your Bible. Don't leave your house. Just pray and read your Bible. Maybe skip breakfast. Pray, read your Bible. Maybe sit around and think, what hymnal songs have I memorized? There is a name I love to hear. And you start coming back. You know, you start to remember some stuff. Maybe you don't know them all, but you're filling your head with good, godly stuff. And by the end of the day, you're going to realize what a dumpster you've been dragging yourself through every day by not focusing on Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that we have to be totally oblivious to everything around us. But won't you surrender to Jesus Christ? Or are you going to surrender to Fox and CNN? Nine and ten says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. What's your state? What's your standing? What are you seeking? What are you set on? What's your status? What's your security? Will you surrender? Won't you suit up? You know what he says? He put off the old man and put on the new man. Love, joy, peace. And we go down through the new man's repertoire and then we can look at the old man. Lying, anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. So why don't do that stuff? Well, you listen to it. So why don't intentionally listen? If you turn Facebook and YouTube on, or YouTube, you do. Because you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. Won't you suit up? Put on the new man. Say, hey, look, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to try this for a couple days like I've never tried it before. I'm going to give it a 6-hour stretch. I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to change me. If you do that for 7 days, you'd never want to go back. You wouldn't. People said, did you hear what Biden did? Did you hear what Trump did? Did you hear what Jesus did? Amen. I mean, people are excited about what Trump did, what Biden did, what Kamala did, what the director of the FBI did. What about what Jesus did? Ain't nobody too excited about that. And they'll go, they'll get together, and they'll go, God, God, faith, God, God. What about Jesus Christ? By the way, He is God. Did you hear what Trump did? Did you hear what Biden did? Did you hear what Kamala did? Did you hear what, the Speaker of the House did? Let me tell you what Jesus did. He came to this earth, the only begotten of the Father. He walked to Calvary. He laid His life down. He shed His blood so you and I could get to heaven. He died, went to hell, and dropped off your sin debt so you don't have to go there. And you're worried about what Biden did or what Trump might do or might not do. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Well, I'm good night. You'll catch yourself after this. I will catch myself too. And I'll say something to my wife. Do you hear about this or hear about that? Or maybe a stranger up the street. I was in the public the other day, and I heard these people talking about the assassination attempt and talking about this, that, and the other, and we were thinking pretty much the same. I didn't even know them. They were somewhere close where I could hear them, and I almost said something, and I thought, what am I going to do, change the world by putting my opinion in there? But we're tempted to get in on that stuff and get caught up in it. Paul was talking about some people in here that addicted themselves to the ministry. Addicted themselves to the ministry. It is a habit for most people in this world to be on their phone. People have addicted themselves. The phone didn't addict you to your phone. If you're addicted to it, you addicted yourself to it. You were given to your phone. You gave yourself over to it. Why don't you give yourself over to Jesus Christ? Amen. So I just, I take the addicts over to rehab and all that stuff. I've spent many hours in a van talking to them, and they're going to change the world. They are fried. They're all going to be world-known artists, and they're all going to write these books to help people with self-help. They couldn't get off crack if they had to, amen? And they're going to change the world. And I've had them say, well, I was doing all right, and then all of a sudden this got me. No. You addicted yourself to this. The only way you're going to get over it is by addicting yourself to the Bible and Jesus Christ. This is not an AA meeting. Bill, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. No. When Christ makes you clean, you're clean. You're no longer what you were unless you decide to re-addict yourself to what you initially addicted yourself to. Amen. The devil wants you to think you're a victim, you have no power, and you can't help it, you can't overcome it. And Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What can He not make you free from? My God is God enough to make you free from anything. Or the devil in your flesh is strong enough without God to get you caught up in about anything. Amen. So here we are. I don't know. I don't even know if she could count. She said 117 days she's going to be president. I don't know if it's 104 days, whatever it is. But here we are. We got that much time between here and the election. And here we are in America, and it's about propaganda, and it's about getting your attention on things like that. What are you going to spend the next several months on? Worshiping Biden, worshiping Trump, worshiping Clarence Thomas, and I'm not saying I'm not thankful for some of these people, for worshiping Jesus Christ. This is possible. With men is impossible, not with God, for with God all things are possible. This is possible. You can go to bed to election night and say, I don't care. Doesn't really matter. I'm saved. I'm still going to heaven to be with Jesus Christ either way. And you can wake up the next morning and go, that's good. Back to Jesus Christ. Or you can worry for the next 100 and whatever days. Stay up all night chewing on your fingernails to see if this guy's going to cheat his way in, or this guy's going to cheat her way in, or what? Who's counting? Is Russia doing that? Who cares? Pray about it and go on. Pray for these folks to get saved, because there ain't nothing going to change up there without Jesus Christ. Won't you suit up? Put on the new man. Surrender, suit up, and stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. The devil says, oh, you don't have that liberty. Christ said he did. That devil's calling God a liar again. You've got the liberty to be free. You don't have to go to hell. Praise God, you're free from that if you're saved. But you can be free from whatever you're struggling with, whatever you've allowed to get between you and Jesus Christ. Amen. Won't you surrender? Father, we sure love you. We thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.